Well, Father God, I thank you that we can handle even the hard-to-approach topics. We can handle these hot topics and these things that are just of a very serious nature because Jesus is Lord. So, Father God, we cover this teaching with the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we praise you, Father God, that it will do good and it will not do harm. And we thank you, and we again say, Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Barbara, let's go for it.
Amen. The last hour, Darren, we talked about false prophets and false teachers and apostles, and these are deceptions within the body of Jesus Christ. Well, this next hour, we're going to be talking a little bit about cults, dangerous commitments that even can be taken, Christians can be taken in by some of these cults that are in existence here in the United States and around the world. And so I thought it would be really good to cover, we can't possibly cover all the cults, but maybe some of the top cults.
Some of the major ones.
Yes,
you know, we can call them dangerous commitments, but it can also be dangerous contaminants.
Yes.
Because it brings a real contaminant into a life that's not aware.
That's right. And Jesus himself in Matthew 10 said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be shrewd or wise as serpents and innocent as doves with no deceit or double-mindedness, but beware of men." And Darren, I believe that these cults are even more dangerous and deceptive than the occult, because the occult or Satan worship is still taboo in the United States, basically. It's not in the general mainstream of society. And some of these cults are considered mainstream religions. I mean, they're well-respected, so it can become even more dangerous than the occult.
Many of them considered to be Bible-based Christianity, but just of another flavor.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to show you today where that cannot be accepted.
That's right.
And I just praise God that we can teach openly here in the United States and hallelujah for our country. And I know we've got a lot of things wrong with it, but there's a lot of good things going on about it.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about the Jehovah Witness, first of all. And many of these people come to the door two by two, and usually they have a more experienced person, and they're training a younger, less experienced person.
That's right.
And they'll come and they'll want to talk to you. And what has their approach been to you most of the time, Barb?
Well, it's like you have said in class on Tuesday nights, would you like to talk about God? Or, you know,
that's what they say at the door.
Are you interested in God?
Right.
Yes. Uh-huh. Or in studying about God. And, of course, they do not have the same translations as we have. They have their very own translation, their very own publishing house, and their translation is called New World Translation, and their leaflet they send out is called The Watchtower. Now, in their translation, you as a Christian can really get into their psyche a little bit by saying, can I look at your Bible and take their Bible and turn to John 1:1, and in that very verse that is such a pivotal verse in our Bible, King James or New American Standard, or the scriptures that we use as born-again believers.
Let's quote ours first.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do that. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," and that's a big G, God.
Now that is so important to know that the Word is God, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. We're talking about another name for Jesus. He is called the Word.
Jesus Christ. Yes, that's right. But in the Jehovah's Witness New World Translation, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a," and that's a little G, God. So every time they come to my door, I say, "I want to see your translation." And I say, "You know what? I cannot agree with you because my Bible says this Word was God, big G, and you're calling him a little God." They do that.
Well, they're also talking about him being just one of many gods.
That's right. But they do that, Darren, because they believe we can achieve that status of Jesus Christ because he was a son of God, a little G God. Then we can obtain that status of being little gods.
Now here, right off the bat, we're talking about a religion that's really coming against the deity of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is equal with God, equal with Holy Spirit. He's part of the Godhead. Mm-hmm. And so this is a very, very serious foundational problem with what we believe.
It is. And they will say Jesus is the Son of God, but they do not consider him the Son of God as we do, capital S, Son of God, God with him. And another verse that we...
Now, excuse me, Barbara, let me stop at this point, because all the way through this teaching you're going to find out that Christian doesn't necessarily mean Christian. Mm-hmm. God doesn't necessarily mean God. Mm-hmm. Son of God doesn't necessarily mean Son of God. You got to know what they're talking about and what we're talking about. And many times it's a very deceptive difference. And that's why we're presenting this teaching today.
That's right. There's another verse in John 17. Now, the book of John is so good because this is Jesus' very heart that John took down. But it says in the New World Translation, "Because the sayings that you gave me, I have given to them. They have received them and have certainly come to know that I came out as your representative." Now, we know that we are representatives of God on this earth, but Jesus was not only a representative. We're going to see here that in the eighth verse of our born-again translation here, that in verse 8 of John...
Our New American Standard translation. And it would say the same thing in the King James.
Yes, in John 17:8, "For the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understand that I came from thee. And they believe that thou didst send me." Now we see that Jesus and the Lord are one because verse 11 says, "You have given me to them that they may be one, even as we are one." And that's in our translation. So we know that Jesus was not only a representative, Darren, but he was truly God in the flesh.
And equal with the Father.
Very, very important. That's right. So this cult does, as you said before, they do not believe that Father God and Jesus Christ are one. They deny the deity. They also deny in a literal hell prepared for the wicked. And they don't believe in the Immaculate Conception, that Mary was a virgin. They believe she had relationships with Joseph, and Jesus was the result. He was the firstborn of their relationship.
Okay, I want to cover something right here at the very beginning, and this is a thread that runs through that you need to understand as you look at all the cults, all the deceptive religions and practices and churches that come to your door, send you materials, or that you see on television. When they deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they're denying that Jesus came as a divine sperma delivered to Mary by Holy Spirit. Now, the reason that's important is we're talking here about the holy bloodline of God. This bloodline that's so important that Jesus shed for us, and that's why we have, as Christians, born-again Christians, remission of sins. That's how we can have forgiveness. That's why this matter of Jesus being deity is so very, very important, and that he was the incarnate one. He was God-man who came in the flesh, certainly, but he had a bloodline that came not from his earthly father, but from his heavenly father. And by the way, the bloodline carries the family characteristics, and the children belong to the fathers. And that says, it says that in Scripture.
That's
so
right.
You need to know that when they deny the deity of Jesus Christ, then they're denying then the ability of Jesus Christ to bring forgiveness for your sins, which is the core teaching of Christianity.
That's right. And when you study the word seed, S-E-E-D, in the New Testament, when you go to the literal Greek, that is sperma in the Greek. So we know that Jesus has, he was the seed spoken of in Genesis 1 that would come by the way of a woman, but would be bring redemption to the world. And that seed is that sperma that you're talking about.
Amen. Praise and there's God. Another factor that we need to remember, that we're all born in sin. And these beautiful little babies that are just so precious, they are born in sin. And when they get to the age of accountability, when they really can discriminate between right and wrong, it's their choice to be redeemed out of a sinful nature and be brought into the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. And some of these cults believe that you aren't born in sin. You're
that's
born
right.
in purity.
They think that everything is okay.
That's right.
Now, I want to take up one here that's called the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, or in other words, the Mormons. Now, I also want to point out right at the beginning, if you drive by a Mormon church, you never see a cross on a Mormon church. Mm-hmm. And that's because they don't believe in the deity and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And he shed his blood on the cross.
That's right.
That he is really just a man.
Well, and Joseph Smith here on page 345 of the Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, says that the Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's. And we know that the Father is spirit. And we must worship him in spirit, it says in John 4:24. So, first of all, it begins with great discrepancy. And in the beginning, also in the Doctrine of Covenants, it says, "I was in the beginning with the Father and am the firstborn. Ye were also in the beginning with the Father." Joseph Smith was a very egotistical man, and he just believed that he was up there with God, and he had so much pride. In fact, the book starts with "I," and so we know that a lot of his writings were so full of pride. He wanted the people to think that they could achieve that status of being God eventually by their works and their efforts, external efforts. And he has another quote here that Christ was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. Woo, that is in direct contradiction to Luke 1. Holy Ghost came over Mary and she conceived Jesus. So this is direct lie. Jesus, our elder brother, was begotten in the flesh by the same character that was in the Garden of Eden. So they believe Jesus was not, this was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. He was begotten in the flesh. That means two people came together on earth in the flesh, and Jesus was born.
So his birth was no different than anybody else's.
That's right. That's right.
Now, the deceptive thing about it is that they believe, and you mentioned that he was the same character that was, or he was begotten in the flesh by the same character that was in the Garden of Eden. They believe that the spirit brother of Jesus desperately tried, now here they're talking about Lucifer, desperately tried to become the savior of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now here we're talking about Jesus. This Jesus they're talking about is not my Jesus.
That's right.
My Jesus does not have a brother whose name is Lucifer,
yes,
who was cast out of Satan or out of heaven because he rebelled against Father God. Now, that's a very, very important thing. Now, what are we talking about here, folks? We're talking about their Christ concept and our Christ concept are two different things.
Yes.
Now, they are not Christians.
Well, that one thing there, Darren, I would never enter a Mormon church because they do believe that Satan and Jesus are brothers, and Satan is another son of God. Satan was created by God. He was a cherub in heaven, and he fell, but he was never considered a son of God. So this in itself makes that whole cult void to me, null and void.
One of the dangerous things is that you know, they do make house calls. They're around. You can see Mormon missionaries going around two by two. And many people are deceived because they do not know the truth. Another basic reason why we're presenting this teaching, you need to know the truth to be set free and to stay free. Otherwise, you could get into deception. And the word does say, even the very elect, in other words, the very key people in the body of Christ can be deceived.
Mm-hmm,
you need
right.
to be real, real careful. And the Mormons, bless their hearts, are dear people, but they are not our brothers and sisters of the faith.
That's right. And the thing, if you do have a Mormon in your family, or if a brother or sister or friend is a Mormon, the best thing you can do is bind those spirits of deception and idolatry and pride. They have great pride. And ask the Lord to bring them into the kingdom, into a born-again experience. That's the best prayer you could pray for
and
them.
And pray that the eyes of their heart, it's Ephesians 1, pray that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened. Bless them with a thirst for true
yes,
righteousness.
Yes.
Bless them for a thirst of repentance. I went to a Mormon church when I was in high school.
I
had a lot of Mormon friends in high school, and they were very active in Farmington, New Mexico, where I graduated from high school. And they invited me, so one Sunday I went over there. And I went in there, and I've never had such weird feelings in a quote-unquote house of worship.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really deep in the spirit at that time, but I just felt very uncomfortable. And I can look back now and say that there were spirits in that church were in violation of what was inside of me as a born-again
yes,
Christian.
That's right. That's right. So some of you just don't belong going to those places. You just don't. Now, this next one, Divine Science Church, Darren, the night that we taught this study on dangerous commitments, it was real interesting because we walked into our room, and usually it's empty. It's ready for Darren in Denver on Tuesday nights. And these people were in there talking about the pyramids and how the energy that comes from the pyramids when they visited them are in them, and now they are coming to America to teach the people. And these are citizens of the United States. They're like us, but they were talking about all this spiritual energy that comes from the pyramids. And we're talking here about New Age. Divine Science Church is part of the New Age movement. It's a huge movement in the United States. It makes man the center of all.
Well, what they're saying is man wants to be in control.
Well, yes. And one of the quotes, Holy Spirit is not out here helping me. Holy Spirit is me. Now, we Christians say Holy Spirit is in me. My body is a temple of Holy Spirit. He is in me. But we do not say he is me.
Okay, now, but see, when you hear something like that, your born-again spirit should go off like a skyrocket inside of you, and you ought to say, blasphemy.
That's right.
Because that's what it is. It's blasphemy. It's coming against the holy God that you believe in and you serve. And then it goes on to say nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Well, that sounds like a bunch of Mickey Mouse to me. A miracle is not walking on the water, raising the dead, says the leader in the cult, in this cult. A miracle is removing the blockages we build up for centuries to unconditional love. Now, again, that's bringing it back to the man being the focus.
Yes.
Man's on the throne of his life. Man is in control. You want to know why this is so pervasive in our country? It really is because they don't want to bow to a sovereign being that just might have something to say about their existence and their eternity.
That's
so
right.
if they deny God, and of course this is what's really behind evolution, if I deny that there's a God, then I can come up with my own frame of thinking, my own whole thought deal, and I can just deny that there's a supreme being that I might someday have to bow to.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's what's behind this divine science church cult thing.
Yes, and a miracle, see, to the divine science, it can be explained. It's explained in human definitions. But a miracle to a Christian born-again believer is one that says, I can't understand this, but I love a God. I have a God within me who can explain this. And Darren, when we see miracles, we can't explain them at all. They're wonderful. And we know that God has been able to work a miracle in a person's life, and it's not our own efforts. We serve someone who is greater and far better than we are, and we give him the glory for it.
Well, now, in every person, there is a void, and God put it there, and we search for miracles. I mean, that's part of our existence. We're looking for miracles. We're looking for the miraculous, something that's beyond ourselves, because innately inside of us, we know that there has to be more going on,
mm-hmm.
and more in the world, more available to us than we have in a natural mind, in the natural reasoning mind.
That's
so
right.
So when they say that we live in the world of illusion, they believe that the ultimate miracle in life is forgiveness.
Now, that is really sad, Darren, because we know as born-again believers, the ultimate miracle in a born-again believer's life is John 3:16, and that's salvation, being born again. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It, sure, forgiveness is a vital part of a Christian's life, but that's not the ultimate miracle.
Now, wait a minute. The kind of forgiveness they're talking about is not the kind of forgiveness we're talking about.
That's
and
right.
When we take somebody through a forgiveness prayer, it's the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. He has the ability to forgive sins.
Mm-hmm.
He has the ability to take those out of your heart and that sin nature away from you. He has that ability, but reasoning man in and of himself cannot do that.
That's right. He
so
sure
if you're
can.
Trying to get to wherever you're trying to go, to this land of peace and quiet or however, whatever they teach, through man's forgiveness, it absolutely will not work. It can't work.
That's right. And one of the offshoots from this Divine Science Church, and I didn't even realize that till Tuesday night that we taught this, and our friend Missy informed us that Marianne Williamson had been a part of Mind Science, and so her writings come from that New Age cult. And in her book, she had a number one book on the nonfiction called Illuminata. And her name is Marianne Williamson. You need to look out for her and beware of her because she says such good stuff. She's been on Oprah.
You mean it sounds good?
Oh, it's well, listen to this, Darren. Now, this sounds good. God is a well that never runs dry. Well, that's in Isaiah.
That's true.
Isaiah quotes things like that. So, you know, it sounds very good. And it says, wow, I can really, you know, read this woman's books. No, you can't. It'll really defile you. She says things like, the Lord is Lord of all universe. The ways of the Lord are the processes of energy by which life moves forward. That's not the ways of the Lord, and we know that's not. He just isn't there to mix up energies on the earth. He's there to change lives.
Well, she also says we move into this power through silence and communion. Well, let me tell you, that's a very, very deceptive thing. If you sit down and meditate in the spirit world, if you're not covered by the blood of Jesus, dedicated to Jesus Christ, there are all kinds of spiritual broadcasts that will come in to deceive you.
That's right.
And you have to be very, very careful.
That's right. One of her prayers at the back of her book, and as I went to the library and did some of this research, Darren, after I read some of these things, I cleansed myself from the top of my head to the soles of my feet because it was really, it is defilement. One of her prayers, it says, we invite him now. He is already here to burst forth into our awareness and into our human experience more deeply, more powerfully, more substantially than ever before. Dear God, please carry us on eagle's wings. Oh, it sounds so good. But what you have to be aware of is he's going to burst forth into our human experience. No, God, we come to God and worship him in spirit and truth, and he comes into our spirit first. Darren, that is so vital.
Well, this thing about looking at our awarenesses looking at our boundaries, looking at our limitations, and he's going to come and just bless us with his presence by coming into our awarenesses. Let me tell you, folks, that in itself would tell you that it's very limited. Mm-hmm. And there's really no limit to the human spirit. And it's not a mental thing, it's a spiritual thing. And I'm talking mm-hmm. here about Christianity. When you get born again, the part of you that gets born again is your heart and your spirit, the very central, the very center part of you. Then, of course, it's up to you to renew your minds in the spirit of the word so that you won't be deceived by a book like this mm-hmm. or a television broadcast or somebody that's just so well put together, or so, as we say today, so telemetric, and they're coming on Oprah, they're coming on some other show, and, oh, I'm telling you, and some of these talk show hosts glorify these people, lift them up, oh, they're doing so much good, they're so kind, they never hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they never took a stick or a gun after somebody, but they're deceiving them at the level of the heart.
That's
and
right.
Folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's where it's really, really serious. Unfortunately, this book is number one book on the nonfiction list.
It has been.
It has
it
been.
It has been. It now, has the been. Next book is number one.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called, this next book we're going to talk about here is Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. Now, this was sent to us by a dear spirit-filled brother, and he didn't read enough into the book and far enough into
that's
the
right.
book.
And that's why they take us with these titles. Oh, this has got to be a Christian book.
Oh, yeah, this guy talks to God. Isn't that wonderful?
he's written five books. He's a millionaire. Let's say it the way it is. It's for the money. But this Neil Donald Walsh, it's another New Age theory. He erroneously states things like, "My child, everything in life is holy, and we know it is not. Satan is the prince of the power of this world," as Jesus has told us.
Well, I'll tell you, if everything in this world is holy, I don't want anything to do with it. Seriously. I mean, what they're doing is perverting the word holy.
I'll tell you, when even worldly people come against the arts foundations in our country, what is that called? The art?
I don't know.
Anyway, National Art
Endowment of Arts.
Endowment of Arts. When even worldly people come against them as being blasphemous and defiled,
and
then
gross.
It's not holy. Life is not holy. By that measure, yes, these writings are holy. God's plan is for you to create. Now, listen
to
this.
Just a minute, though. He is saying, by that measure, we're not saying that. He's saying, by that measure, or by our own measure, these are holy writings.
That's right. And God's plan is for us to be creators. God's plan for you is to create anything, everything, whatever you want. No, no, no. God's plan was that he would create it for you to be able to enjoy, but we cannot call ourselves creators. So he goes on to say in his book, in such freedom lies the experience of God being God. Donald says that God told him, "I do not love good more than I love bad. Hitler went to heaven." When you understand this, you will understand God, and that's page 61 in his book. That is absolute blasphemy. It truly is. Hitler was a evil, wicked man who went to hell.
And who, by an act of his choice, gave himself over to the occult, in great ways was trying to find power in the occult world.
Yes.
To bring into the natural world.
He did bridge the gap from being in cultish kind of religions to going actually into Satan worship at the very end.
And so I believe that he was indeed possessed. Now, to say that a man possessed of the devil went to heaven, well, they're not talking about my heaven.
Well, we're going to find out what Donald thinks of heaven later on here, because he doesn't believe that there is a heaven. He believes heaven is here. And, I'll just say it here. There is no such thing as getting to heaven. There is only a knowing that you are already there. You cannot go to where you already are, and that's page 98. So he believes heaven is here. He does not believe in a literal heaven.
That's
or
what
hell.
He's saying.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, I tell you. Then he goes on to say, you shall honor your father and mother, and you'll know that you're the son of God when you honor them. These are your freedoms, not your restrictions. These are my commitments, not my commandments. See, now here he's putting man totally in control.
Yes, that's right.
And then
sure
he goes
does.
On to say, for God does not order about what God has created. God merely tells God's children, they do it. Doesn't this sound like a fairy tale gone sour? So in order to get to heaven, I don't have to keep the Ten Commandments, he says.
Yeah, but see, he says in order to get to heaven, but he says, I'm already here in heaven. This man is contradicting his own writings. But that is what New Age is. It's a confusing conglomerate of all kinds of I don't know what, but we want to inform you about this so that you don't get caught up in some of this nice sounding garbage. It really is.
Well, he goes on to say, you cannot go to where you already are. In other words, heaven is already here. Mm-hmm. Beingness is the highest state of existence. Boy, that guy would have me absolutely confused. It is the purest essence. It is the now, not now, the all, not all, the always, never aspect of God being. I'm telling you, I can't read anymore of this.
Yeah,
stuff.
Pure being is pure Godding. And Darren, he has taken a noun, God, and he has made it an adjective. He has belittled God in saying this. Pure being is pure Godding. Now, if you understand that, we don't want to understand that because our hearts are sold out to God.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, we cleanse ourselves.
You know, I'd like to stop and pray right now. Father God, I ask that you would cover this, and we cover this with the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we're saying that no deceit or deception that we're talking about here is going to get into our hearts or our minds or our practices. Father God, we thank you that you're bigger than evil. Hallelujah, that you have the power and the glory, and you will have forever and ever, that you are the awesome God, the creator of the universe, the only God who had a son, his name is Jesus, who died for us on the cross that we could come to salvation, who returned to heaven and sent Holy Spirit to be our friend and our guide and our comforter, and to baptize our spirit when we invite him to do that. And Lord, we thank you. There's water baptism for the flesh and there's spirit baptism for the heart. And Lord, I thank you that in Holy Spirit, there is a gift of discernment that will keep us from getting into deception. Lord God, we need that inner guidance system called Holy Spirit, that part of the Godhead that can come into our lives and change our lives and give us power. Lord, I thank you for the glory that comes right off the pages of Scripture that shows us and guides us to keep us out of these deceptive cults and practices and religions. Lord, we thank you and we glorify you and we magnify your name. We thank you that we can speak the word of God. The word of God can be an inner guidance system for us. Jesus, I thank you that you're alive in us. I thank you that you're preparing a place for us. You're building mansions for us. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to live in any deception, not even partial deception. But Lord, we can live with the spirit of truth and we can be focused and have direction in our lives. I thank you that we can know the wonderful salvation message, that we can know in our hearts that above everything else that we have been forgiven, that we're not walking in sin. Father God, I thank you that your word bears witness, your spirit bears witness, that we are indeed the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. We glorify you, we magnify you in the powerful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Barb, I'm going to say one thing at this point. I know I said this in class the other night, but folks, I'm going to encourage you to go through your library, go through your tape library, go through your books, and pray over every one of them. And just ask Holy Spirit to guide you. Say, now, does this honor you, or does this bring dishonor into my household? Mm-hmm. Is this a challenge to your name and your holiness and your awesome wonderfulness? I mean, does this challenge you?
That's right.
And if it does, get rid of it.
That's right. One other book that I'd like to warn you about, and that's the children's series right now, out right now, and it's number one, Harry Potter series. He is a little boy that goes from a school of wizardry, and he studies witchcraft, and you as a Christian, a born-again Christian, should absolutely have the antennas up and the red flags out when you see that this little boy goes to a school of wizardry. But he's been taken, I mean, this is, he's taking the world by storm. And I know that the author of this book is a multimillionaire over and over again already. So I would warn you against the Harry Potter children's books. And
we're not against people being wealthy or being millionaires. We're just saying that a lot of people have been deceived, and these people are making a lot of money doing it.
That's right. They sure are. So when you go to a secular bookstore, be very aware. Be the Matthew 10, 16, and 17 that Jesus said, be wise as serpents. And that is so important. This next thing we're going to get into is the Quran. And I thought it was interesting, Darren, because both Baha'i religion and the Islam religion have plagiarized the King James Version so many times over. Amen. Over 25,000 words have been taken from the King James Version.
So what we're saying is you got to be careful who comes to your door and what they give you. They'll always want to give you materials. You got to be careful what you hear on radio and television. And again, I'm going to say as we finish this part of the message, go through your library and ask God if the things that you have are things that bring blessing or things that bring cursing into your household. And you will be so blessed by doing that little practice. I'm telling you, several years ago, God had me do that, and I had to throw away two or three big boxes of books. When I burned those things, Barbara, I'm telling you, it was like the demons of hell came right out of that smoke. I mean, it scared me because it was just an intense warfare in the spirit world. And these were all quote-unquote good books. Mm-hmm. Folks, please go through your libraries and see what kind of books, tapes, and videos you have.
Magazines.
And if God doesn't give you the go for it, I mean, get rid of them, and you'll be glad you did.